Griff and Jeff address some listener feedback surrounding gay youth while Tim is off celebrating his boyfriend's birthday. So get naked and take out the frosting. TOL 136 starts now.
It's Sunday, October 24th, 2010. I'm Jeff.
And I'm frightfully full of fabulous fondue.
And welcome to Comes Out Loud, the Bear Podcast of Indeterminate Length, episode number 138. And holy fucking Jesus. And that will be discussed later.
Who is holy and why is he fucking Jesus?
Really,
if his name is holy, wouldn't you think it would be the other way around?
Good point.
So what did you do this weekend, Jeff?
Nothing. Besides going to see Paranormal Activity 2 on Friday at midnight, which was just a brilliant idea. Nothing. Oh, wait. I did have an interview with the creator of the website Bear Underground earlier today, which has already been posted. So hopefully you've all caught that and checked that out.
Cool. What is Bear Underground? Give us a synopsis.
Bear Underground is yet another bear site, I suppose. Right now it's pretty much a profile site and what he's got. It's in beta right now. So he's got profiles, clubs, and events right now. But and he's going to work on some more things. But it's yet another bear site. It's very much closer to Bear 411, but it's much better than Bear 411, just in look and feel.
Okay.
So that's my quick synopsis of that.
Well, very cool.
How about you?
So my weekend was somewhat low key, but not, I guess. Pretty much stayed in on Friday night. Yesterday we did a couple things, and I actually wound up staying over at Ian's dorm last night, which was kind of interesting and, if I must admit, uncomfortable considering he has only a twin bed.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's about like 5 feet off the floor, maybe 4 feet. So we actually pulled the mattress down so neither of us would fall off the bed and made a little blanket fort, which was nice. And today, got up, came home by way of my what the fuck pick, and then we went out to Melt Pot because we had a gift certificate to burn up before next weekend. So got that all straightened out and done.
More yummy, yummy fondue.
Yeah. I now don't need it for about another year. I have now had fondue 3 times in the past 4 months, and oh my god, my fondue'd out.
I haven't had fondue in forever.
It's yummy, but it's very caloric, which is not good.
Mm-hmm. True. Especially for someone who's trying to lose weight.
So what is good is Justin emailed us about our show last week where I posed the question to our younger listeners of whether or not we in the gay community are doing enough to help gay youth. And if, in fact, we are spending too much of our time promoting gay marriage and repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He writes that he's a 24-year-old living in California. From his experience around his area, there is still segregation in different communities, bear and twink for the most part. I weigh in at 220 with a little athletic build, and with my smaller, older brother being gay, he weighs in at 110 pounds. We seem to fit in different communities. He has a lot of older friends, 40s and 50s, and they still look at me like I'm not welcome in their group. I can see if I don't feel welcomed at my age and weight, would someone in high school with the same weight or build feel the same way? For the most part, California seems to be getting better with opening up to gays, in my opinion, with support of celebrities such as Ellen and outreach programs and events. I think that is a great boost for the morale. And bike shorts. I say they do serve two purposes for a nice cute cub, for me anyway. One, they reduce friction between the thighs. Two, good for starting foreplay. You guys are awesome. Keep up the good work, Justin. All right. All right, I don't know if I have friction between my thighs, but I guess maybe they would be good for that. What do you think, Jeff?
Again, the friction between the thighs thing all has to deal with working out and biking and that type of thing. So makes perfect sense to me. As for the foreplay, I don't get it.
You don't get foreplay? I'm so sorry to hear that.
No, I get the foreplay. I get foreplay, but the bike shorts and foreplay, you know, putting those two together, I don't get it.
Well, I think we can agree on that one. Well, thank you for that, Justin. Todd actually wrote in on our website. He says, in junior high, I was often made fun of for being or acting gay. And he puts that in gay little quotes. I think this type of animosity towards gay people was definitely taught by parents and peers. I'm sure the issue of gay rights made it more common topic. However, in junior high, nothing is off limits. Kids were made fun of and picked on for everything, including race, economic background, and mental or physical disabilities. It might still be okay to be openly homophobic these days, but kids certainly degrade their peers in ways that are deemed hateful and wrong by a larger society. It's not just a gay issue, but bullying feels worse when it seems that the rest of society is against you as well. I think achieving equal rights would actually do a lot to improve the self-esteem of gay teenagers, along with the slow shift in our culture's attitudes towards gay people. Parents and teachers are in the best position to try to actively put an end to bullying, though. I'm not sure what the gay population could do specifically. I actually came out in high school while Queer Eye for the Straight Guy was at its peak in popularity. I think prominent depictions of gay men in the media do help gay teens feel more comfortable with themselves, but I was very worried that others would judge me by the stereotypes they saw in such shows. It was nice to see homosexuality acknowledged in a somewhat positive way, but it's certainly a double-edged sword. As for Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I think it should be repealed, but it's never going to be my cause of choice. For one, it is a good excuse if the draft comes back, but I do not live in a state that offers protection from discrimination based on sexual orientation outside of state work. So I guess I don't feel all that bad. I think protesting Red Cross blood drives is probably the biggest waste of time, though. You said 24-year-olds should respond, so I did. Hopefully it wasn't too disjointed.
Two 24-year-olds.
I'm telling you, I think that may be our show title. I meant to mention to Justin that, of course, Justin should be sending pictures of himself to you, and Justin's brother should be sending pictures to me.
Oh, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. I think I get Todd's point here of, more integrated into society, the more accepted we are as a whole, the less the bullying will hurt. And I certainly do understand his point of the idea that in junior high, everybody bullies everybody. I get that.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I always try to stay as far away as I could from any of that. So.
Yeah, I did too. I think I did pretty well. I mean, oddly, being the larger person somewhat helps me because most people didn't want to fuck with me. And now most people just don't want to fuck me. So we got an email from the Cubby House, specifically Jack. No fair pasting while I'm about to read it.
Sorry.
Hey, guys. I wanted to respond to your question from last week about supporting gay youth. Okay.
No.
Yeah, no more Aussie accents.
Let the Australians do the Aussie accent.
Positive. I came out in high school, and the response was rather neutral from my classmates. I did encounter a few inappropriate questions from the younger grades and minor harassment from one particular underclass woman. When I wrote a submission for the school newsletter about resources for GLPTI students, I was rejected by the principal, who argued along the lines it's not what parents expect from the newsletter. Jeff, can I just ask you, aren't we getting to the point where we have too many acronyms for ourselves?
No, because there essentially is one really long one, but they've shortened it to LGBT.
But now it's GLBTI.
No. There's longer.
Which actually, well, that's a...
Because you got to include the two Qs, queer and questioning. I think there's some more, but...
I think GLBTI sounds like an extra name from a corporation. Here at GLBTI. Anyway, continuing on, Jack says, but for me, the things that were most helpful were the books that were available from a local library. Firstly, there were really good books explaining the body and sexuality in frank, informative, and uncondescending manner. In particular, What's Happening to My Body book for boys. Also, having fictional books which have gay young characters and GBLTI themes, books like Boy Meets Boy and Rainbow Boys were helpful. We didn't have those over in the States, did we, Jeff?
I think those books might have been out of there. I just never went searching for them. You also have to realize I didn't come out to myself until college, so I had other things in my mind. I did find some good compilations of gay plays, but...
Aren't all plays gay? Anyway, as a teenager, I would look on the websites and the gay press, and I knew that it was missing out as I was under the age to go to venues. I think providing opportunities for young people to meet in a non-bar setting is a challenge. I thought I was fairly fortunate. Where I live, there is a network of those people, youth groups that run out of community health centers, and an organization called Minus 18 would run dance parties for underage youth. There were also big gay carnivals, and the Melbourne Queer Film Festival offered special screenings of short films for young people. Also, Joy 94.9, the gay and lesbian radio station, got a 4-year grant from the Foundation of Young Australians to provide Certificate 3 courses in radio broadcasting for free. This is how Cookie and I got certified in radio. It was a good networking opportunity, and we could feel a part of the community outside of the bar scene. But I think the age of drinking is a big problem in the U.S. In Australia, I started participating with the bar scene when I was legally allowed to at 18, and I've been a member, contributor, and organizer to the subculture since then. I feel that it is an important part of myself. I have been recently making preparations to travel to the U.S. and Canada to participate and compete in an international bear rendezvous. According to the forms, I need to be 21 when the forms are due in December, but I turn 21 4 days before the event starts in February. Because of this, I may not be able to compete or even get a pass, and frankly, it makes me feel really invalidated. I feel that this would be a common sentiment among young people trying to enter into the bear subculture and wider GLBTI scene. They know more than ever that they are missing out on, but still having to deal with the same old gatekeeper issues. For that reason, I applaud social networking website Bear Cub House for accepting underage people so they can network and participate in the community. It's a step in the right direction. As you can see, I've been quite fortunate growing up. Not everyone has it so easily. The questions you're asking of the United States are the same questions we're asking of our own youth in the country and regional Australia. And that's from Jack at the Cubby House. I kind of disagree with him on the drinking age thing. I mean, couldn't we then make an argument for Australia that, if only the drinking age was 16, then, you know, more people would come out earlier and be able to discover themselves. What do you think about that, Jeff?
Well, I don't think he's talking about coming out per se.
He's in the scene, so to speak.
Well, the problem that he's addressing here is that most bear-oriented activities end up being at a bar, a place where you have to be of legal drinking age. In the case of Australia, that age is 18. In the case of the U.S. here, it's 21. So those Australians who have been participating and been 18 and been drinking already can't participate in any American events until they're 21. So you've got 19, 20, so like 3 years difference. I think that was kind of his beef when it came to age, but I think that's the only part of it that really came to age. Another part of it is being able to participatory. I'm trying to speak my words out, but usually some sort of event, even if you go to a campground, they say you have to be of legal drinking age because, of course, there's going to be booze there because bears and booze end up being in the same place. Of course, that would almost happen for anyone, even if it's a twink event or something. So it's because of that whole booze issue, you end up getting an age restriction, not because they don't necessarily want these kids to be participating, that it's more of, this is just what we like to do. We want to do it. The majority of us are over the legal drinking age, so we're going to end up drinking. Now, there's things like when I was in Minnesota, they had bear coffee. So they all congregated at a coffee house once a week. That is a perfect place for people who are under the legal drinking age. There was bear dinner. Sure, there's booze there, but it was a neighborhood restaurant. It was at Applebee's and Chili's, and they've been going around. So anybody could participate in that. There's booze there, but there's nothing saying you have to be of a certain age. But then you go to the actual bars, like the Eagle, and I'm all sticking to everything in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. You go to the Eagle, you can't get in unless you're legal drinking. And that usually ends up being where most of the events are end up being held, is at a bar. So if and I don't know if it's just these younger people, one, for the bear events, when do people learn about the bear community? Around what age? To get into it and then really get into each one and really break down where are these events happening. Because here in Austin, there's always the bear breakfasts that happen at least twice a month. And of course, that's not at a bar. So it's really looking at those main events and everything and looking for places where you can essentially have completely open without having to worry about somebody having to get in at a legal age. So it's just about where the events are. And when it comes to bear runs, they usually end up being at a bar, which is a problem.
Yeah, and see, but I wonder if it is a problem. I mean, is drinking part of the gay culture, the bear culture? I think it certainly is. Are you taking away from the bear culture if you are holding events that preclude alcohol? I mean, certainly, I don't think anybody would necessarily want to admit it, but I do think that a large part of gay partying culture is fueled by alcohol and other recreational substances. You know, and I wonder if you were at a bear breakfast, how young would be too young for you? I mean, would a 16-year-old be okay to be at that bear breakfast? How about a 13-year-old? Or, you know, at what point do we draw that line?
Well, for just attendance, like if you had to put some sort of age, sure, we're going to Trudy's. Anybody can come to Trudy's. You know, whether that 16-year-old would be comfortable with the rest of the bears there who are at least 5, 6, 20 years older than him. That's more of just them being comfortable at the place because they're so young. But
right. So do you think there's nothing, be a limit?
There's nothing precluding them from going besides the kind of social awkwardness of being separated from this older group towards them. I would just think that the kid would feel awkward unless there was a bunch of them. There were like 5 of them, or if there were 4 of them or something like that there might be a little bit easier. But, you know, when you're going to like Trudy's or you're going to a coffee shop or something like that, I don't see a need to have an age rate. And honestly, the Heart of Texas Bears and the Lone Star Bears, there is no age range. There's nothing on their website or anything restricting what age you can be to participate in the club. The only thing that's going to preclude them is the venue.
But, I mean, surely you would say there has to be an age that's too young. I mean, a 10-year-old's not going to be allowed to show up, right?
Right. And, I suppose when you come to the legal age of the age of anything, probably should be, and this is more for the kid to figure out, you should probably not attend these events unless you're 18. You know, the legal play age, for lack of a better word. And please don't call me Shirley.
The legal play age in a lot of states is 16. But, so it's interesting to me because I actually don't necessarily think we should have a drinking age. But then again, I don't think anyone under the age of 25 should go into the Eagle. I think it's just that scary and traumatizing.
Well, you have to compare the Eagles that we're referring to. I'm referring to the Minneapolis Eagle. You're referring to the Eagle in Atlanta.
Yeah, I've been to both.
Okay.
And I guess here's my question is, you know, Jack seems upset that he's probably not going to be able to compete.
He won't be able to necessarily attend.
Yeah. And
because he won't be able to get his tickets to IBR.
So do you think they should be billing that as a 21 and up event? Or do you think do you think they should be? Or do you think they're just doing it as a way to lax with the liquor situation, you know, not requiring armbands or something like that?
I suppose. I don't know. I can't really talk in regards to the whole, when I was younger, me and some of my friends would go up to the 18 plus nights at the Gay 90s, which of course you go in, I think you get an armband or you don't get an armband they check your IDs. If you don't have an armband, it means you're not going to be served an alcoholic beverage. If you do get an armband, you do, or vice versa. So they could tell who quickly and easily be able to tell who they can serve and who they can't serve. But there can also be problems with someone who's over the age of 21 buying the drinks and then take it to somebody who's under 21, blah, blah, blah. So they've got to really be more diligent with the bouncers and it just gets complicated. So thus the 21. That's where they just cut it off at 21. Now, here's the thing. The thing with me is a lot of countries have the drinking age at 18, not 21. So why isn't the drinking age here in the States 18, just like anywhere else?
Well, I mean, that's a good question.
It'll cut down on some underage drinking, I can almost guarantee.
I don't know it would cut down on underage drinking. If you consider people from 18 to 21 that are drinking already, wouldn't then be underage. I do think it's kind of crazy that the people at IBR are making you be 21 when you file the paperwork and not for when you're actually there. I mean, I do agree with Jack in that, sense that, I mean, that just seems kind of crazy. I do think, though, it sounds, and no offense, Jack, but a little bit like sour grapes. I mean, that is just the laws of our country, and you know, maybe it would have been better for you to come over next year.
Here's another thing to think about could it just be they're more being cautious? You know, they're just going the extra mile saying you have to be 21 when you file the paperwork. And we're just being cautious on this. So we don't want to have somebody who's going to turn 21 later and it ends up being after the event and they've already been drinking while at the event or something like that. I don't know. I can't really say any specifics on that, but it could just be they're being overly cautious so that you're filing it and that you have to be 21 when you file. And one thing they could have done would be like, hey, if you're not 21 and when you file, just send us a picture of your driver's license or something like that, just to prove that you will be 21 at the time of the event or something like that. I don't know specifically, but it just, I'm making up ideas. That's all.
Yeah, and I wonder if it might be time for a bear event that doesn't involve alcohol, so anyone 18 and over could actually get in. I don't know. It's an interesting point. My only point back to Jack would then be, well, if it's okay, 18 is good. Couldn't we then get a letter from someone that's 16 and thinks that, you know, they should be allowed to drink at 16? And I don't know. I'm feeling very much like an old man making this argument right now, but I think at some point there has to be a cutoff. And you know, good or bad, here in the U.S. it's 21. Other countries it's 18. I think even with like gay brunches, there has to be a cutoff. I mean, certainly from a legal perspective, you don't want a 14-year-old mingling with guys that are 10 and 15 years their senior.
Hmm. I can see that. Again, the appropriate play age, I would suppose. Also, Law Dog in the chat room does say, if you can vote and fight in war, you should be able to drink and have fun. Was 18 back in the 70s.
Yeah, you know, where I think 21 came from was drinking and driving, to be honest with you. I think it was a way to try to ensure the safety of newer drivers to make sure they're not impaired 2 years after they've gotten their license. Whether or not it does any good is certainly open for debate, but I think that's where it actually came from. Well, that and we're a nation full of fucking Puritans.
Man.
Okay. Speaking of which, Dan Savage was recently assaulted by a Puritan. What do you have for us there, Jeff?
Okay, so I found this on Facebook, and after a few, I love this article. The only thing is I couldn't find the original. So I've got a link posted on Terry Dean Bartlett's Facebook page. I don't know, is Terry actually Dan Savage's boyfriend, maybe? I don't know. But someone wrote in saying, "Dear Dan, I was listening to your radio yesterday morning, and I heard an interview with you about the It Gets Better campaign. I was saddened and frustrated with your comments regarding people of faith and their perpetration of bullying. As someone who loves the Lord and does not support gay marriage, I can honestly say I was heartbroken to hear about the young man who took his own life. If your message is that we should not judge people based on their sexual preference, how do you justify judging entire groups of people for any reason, including their faith? There is no part of me that took any pleasure in what happened to that young man, and I know for a fact that is true of many other people who disagree with their viewpoint. To that end, to imply that I would somehow encourage my children to mock, hurt, intimidate another person for any reason is completely unfounded and offensive. Being a follower of Christ is, above all things, the recognition that we are all imperfect, fallible, and in desperate need of a Savior. We cannot believe that we are better or more worthy than other people. Please consider your viewpoint, and please be more careful with your words in the future. LR." So it's like,
can I just say, can I say what I think the main problem is with that letter?
Which I think he goes into it.
the words "sexual preference" are just ridiculous. But continue.
Oh, okay. So I suppose that is partly. So I'm just going to read the first few sentences on this and then explain what he goes into about. He goes, "I'm sorry your feelings were hurt by my comments." No, wait, I'm not. "Gay kids are dying, so let's try to keep things in perspective. Fuck your feelings. A question, do you support atheist marriage, interfaith marriage, divorce and remarriage? All are legal. All go against Christian and or traditional ideas about marriage. And yet there is no Christian movement to deny marriage rights to the atheists and people marrying outside their respective faiths or people divorcing and remarrying. Why the hell not? And then he goes on. Basically, he went back on him about her hypocrisy in her letter. It's like she understands that people that she is really saddened about anybody taking their life. However, she thinks, and then he comes back saying that she, where was I saying? So, and then she also she's mad that she thinks that people of her faith are being mean to and bullying gays when she doesn't believe that's true. And it's like, but wait a minute. Did you just say you do not support gay marriage? So how can you be supporting gays and not supporting gays all at the same time? It's one or the other. You can't have both. And he goes on a tirade about the entire thing. It's a great article, I think, on it about this hypocrisy between people who all they do is against gay marriage, and with that viewpoint are not showing their children that gays and lesbians are a lower class of citizens. I think that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think that people can say they support gay people and not gay marriage. I think that's acceptable for them to say. It's just they don't support gay people 100%. So, you know, certainly they might not support gay people getting fired just for being gay, but they might not want to commit fully to, like, gay adoption. But I really think the big problem with LR's letter is that sexual preference thing is we've got to stop calling it sexual preference, because the preference implies that it's an opinion based mechanism, that it is a choice. And I think the people who believe, as I do, and it's been scientifically proven that it's not a choice, support gay people more than those that think it's a preference, that think it is a choice. You know, and that's how one can actually justify judging entire groups based on their faith, because faith is a choice. What do you think about that?
Agreed. I mean, if it's sexual preference implies a choice, sexual orientation does not. So, and that's why in legalese, when you're looking around and seeing, like, you may not discriminate based off of such and such, such and such, such and such, one of those is or should be at least included, sexual orientation, not sexual preference. Because that's exactly the way you're, because, you know, the magnetic north is oriented to the north.
You know, but then again, people in high school and junior high get bullied for hair. I mean, you know, and a lot of that is not necessarily a choice. I mean, if you have really curly hair as a kid, with the exception of shaving it off, you're not going to have a choice. And people get teased for that. It's I don't know. Does it really get better?
I don't know. It got better for me.
Right. But does it really get better, Jeff?
I don't know. It got better for me.
What is this link you have in the show notes?
In this whole matter, somebody else came out and said, does it really get better? A conscientious critique. Basically, the author broke down saying, it's not necessarily true. There are some great things that do come out of it. But one of the things he didn't like about the message was what are you trying to say there? Are you trying to drop out of school, run away from your hometown, get away from these people and run and hide?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny because I don't know if being human actually gets better. I mean, you always, I think what gets better is your ability to deal with the adversity. So as an adult, you have a whole other set of challenges than you do when you're a late teenager. For example, job loss. You just went through that.
Oh, yeah.
But your ability to deal with that is heightened from when you were 17, 18, 19 years old. And I think that's what gets better. And I really do think that gets better. As far as do the challenges of life go away? No, they just change.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, they change. So I kind of had a this is kind of leading us into what the fucks, but I don't know if you've seen this sentiment on Facebook. I've seen a couple people saying that they've given up on Obama, that because he will not just strike down Don't Ask, Don't Tell, he's a horrible person, and they will never vote for Obama again. And so my question is, well, who the fuck else are you going to vote for? Have you seen this at all, Jeff?
Not at all. This is news to me.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. I've seen it a few different places, and it's – yeah, Obama has not done as much as he certainly could. But really, the idea that you're just not going to vote for him – I mean, you're certainly not going to go vote for the Republicans, so –
and like any other party has a chance in hell of getting elected. Unless, if you can somehow get me a third party candidate that's actually viably get elected, I'll vote for him. Will it happen? I'm not seeing that anytime soon.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and it, Obama's been one of those guys who's like, he makes promises, but, and it looks like he's gonna do it, except it never really comes through. It's like at arm's range length, but still right out of reach.
Oh, you mean a politician? I mean, that's the word that I would give for someone that you describe like that. It's a politician.
Ah, I gotcha. Yeah.
I can tell you right now that the creme brulee white chocolate fondue that I had about 2 hours ago, is starting to hit me. Can you feel the sugar low?
Would that be giving you mean that it's done? Like it already hit you?
It's starting to hit me.
So then you would be going with the sugar high.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's a sugar low for me.
Okay.
So I mentioned what the fucks. I'm just going to say it. I have one. You heard about this story, I'm sure, Jeff, that TV networks blocked Google TV this week from accessing their websites through Google TV. Seriously, I tweeted out, "Stop being pricks." Are you kidding me? This is so stupid.
It's a slash facepalm and my head now hurts. That type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Hulu is blocking Google TV right now.
That's because of the major networks that are blocking. Although, Fox isn't. And Fox is partnered with Hulu. Maybe it's a majority rules thing, if it's the whole thing.
You heard about the whole Fox debacle, though. I mean, you know, people on
Fox
cablevision.
Debacle was doing something, like, weird with blocking people on cable vision only.
Yeah, so they basically pulled their programming off of cable vision because cable vision and Fox couldn't come up with an agreement, and then they blocked online content from Cablevision's internet customers, which I think raises huge net neutrality issues.
Cablevision thing.
It's also a reason that I'm considering switching to DSL or Clear, maybe WiMAX, to get out of the whole cable arena.
I wouldn't go WiMAX. WiMAX is still baby stage right now. I wouldn't go completely wireless. So I wouldn't go that way. But DSL, I suppose you could do. I mean, I got DSL.
I don't know. I love my little Clear iSpot. I should hack it someday and try to stream some media through it and see if it would do just as well.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But he could. There's a possibility. But, I mean, seriously. Honestly, guys, if with Google TV, if somebody does a search for one of your programs, one of the results will probably be the actual television show. Like, on, like, regular TV. So, WTF on blocking anywhere. So, they would still be able to get the show. So, who cares how they get it? That's all I gotta say. And I've been hearing mixed reviews when it comes to the Google TV, too. And I don't know if it's the box implementation or the software implementation.
It's the $300 out of my wallet implementation that is pretty much ensured that I will not be getting a Google TV.
Understandable. What would be kind of cool is if Google released for free just some software, kind of like the Boxy software, so you can install Google TV onto a box, and we'll just another media center that you can open up in Windows or on a Mac or something.
Yeah, like Boxy is.
Yeah, exactly. That's what Google should do. You get all these boxes and TVs doing it, and then you also get a computer doing it. And it's everywhere.
Hybrid.
Very hybrid. I do have to say, very, very hybrid. Because you know that holy fucking Jesus at the beginning of the show? I went to see Paranormal Activity 2. And holy fucking Jesus. I have mixed feelings on this. This is a movie that I will never see again. I will absolutely refuse to see it. Why? Because it scared the fucking shit out of me. And the reason why I'm cursing left and right is because it was that bad. However, because it scared the living fucking shit out of me, it's awesome. So this is one of the first what the fuck picks, where I'm actually picking and recommending something that I hate. If that makes any sense whatsoever. Watching this movie has now added at least a third movie to my movies I absolutely refuse to watch, and that will be Paranormal Activity 1. I will never see that movie, and I'll probably never see the any other Paranormal Activities that will come out because it scared the living shit out of me, and I don't like it. I actually stayed up for 2 or 3 more hours to kind of calm my nerves. Fortunately, no nightmares, so I'm good on that front. But if you do like scary movies, you do like to be frightened, go see Paranormal Activity 2. It's awesome. Very, very recommended. Probably be something you want to go see in the daytime, unless you're crazy and want to see a midnight showing.
Speaking of crazy and what the fuck picks, the Dunkin' Donuts maple breakfast sandwich. I had one today. I thought, hey, it can't be that bad for me. Maybe 13 points or so, maybe. Yeah, it was 18 points. Horrible for you folks. Do not go buy one, although it's very tasty.
And now for a pure pick. I'm gonna pick Romote. Unfortunately, this is a Mac only thing, or Apple TV. You can get this for an iPhone or an iPad, and then it will actually control your Mac based devices. It's pretty much media centric. The main interface to it is essentially the Apple remote. So you've got an up, down, left, right, play, pause in the middle, and then you've got a menu button. You also get 3 buttons along the bottom, one for setting, one that says application, one for connections. Connections allow you to define which device you're connecting to. Settings, obviously, the settings. Some settings they have. Applications is the best part because in it you can scroll through a list of different applications that it can launch. So, for example, I've got iTunes open all the time, but I want to go over to Boxy instead of going to my computer and opening up a Boxy by the keyboard and mouse, I can use the remote and select Boxy and we'll launch the program. Also, when I'm watching when I am watching podcasts on through iTunes, I can actually maximize iTunes through that application's menu as well. So right now, I rarely ever use the keyboard and mouse on my iMac in my bedroom. So I can watch all my media without having to get up from the bed and just using it. It's such a versatile device. I think the remote for the iPad actually does more. Like it does, it can be like a mini, like a trackpad as well. I haven't experienced too much of it. I think App Judgment actually had talked about it on one of their shows in the past month or two. But I love this app. I think it's a free. I think there might be two versions, or I don't remember how much it costs. But remote, if you've got a Mac or Apple TV or both, check it out.
And what the fuck on the name? That's a horrible name.
Remote.
Contact info, people, cubs.loud.com/contact. Go there, get our email addresses. You'll find our Google Voice number, 361-CLTALK. You can leave us a voicemail there. Haven't gotten one of those recently. You can also attach an MP3 file to an email message to podcast@cubsoutloud.com. We would very much like to hear your voices. 361-265-8255. Don't forget about the excellent replay of the not-so-excellent show on BearRadio.net Tuesdays and Fridays, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific. It's kind of a pared-down version, but go listen to it so the guys that run BearRadio.net know that you love us. Don't forget our Facebook page at facebook.com/CubsOutLoud. And, of course, you need to go send your nominations for the Best of Bears competition. info@thecompletebear.com is where to send that nomination. Tell them you love Cubs Out Loud. We would very much appreciate it. Next week, I will mention that Tim's boyfriend John should be here, and hopefully talking about his recent entry into Weight Watchers and the whole world of weight loss. He was on about a year and a half ago, and I'm very much looking forward to having him back on. With that, my first shout out is to Tim's boyfriend John and his birthday celebration. Tim is off tonight celebrating John's birthday. Meanwhile, I will shout out to my own boyfriend, Ian, who I love very much and very much enjoy the weekend. How about you, Jeff? Hopefully you're not shouting out to the exact same non-existent boyfriend.
I am shouting out to my non-existent boyfriend, Tug. Say goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, kids.